She's a director for the Institute of the Practice of Ministry and the Des Moines Pastoral Counseling Center in Urbandale, Iowa.
Well, thank you. I need to adjust. All right. It's really good to be here today, isn't it? It's
yes.
Really good to be with people who understand. I want to ask, how many of you are here for the very first time this year? Raise your hand. Wow. Wow. Can we all give them a hand? I want to start us off today with a question. How many of you have ever been or are now afraid of the dark? Raise your hand. Ever been, come on, ever been or now afraid of the dark? All right. A lot of us have been in that position. For me, it was when I was very small. I think I've outgrown that a little bit. But I do know that being in the dark can be a really scary thing. I know that because I've been there. It was a long time ago, February 1975. The day began as any other day had begun for me. I'd gotten up and gone to all of my classes. I was a college student living away from home. I stopped in my dorm room on my way to a band rehearsal, and the phone began to ring on the wall. That was before cell phones. I went over to the phone, picked it up, and there was that call I had dreaded I would always receive. My dad was on the other end of the line, and I could tell that he was trying to be really, really strong for me as he broke the news. My mom was gone. Now, sometime during that day, when I was sitting in one class or another, she had written a little note and turned on the stereo, tuned it in to her favorite station, taken a bottle of prescription medications, laid down on the couch, and she died. That was the day that my life, as I had known it, had come to an end. And it was a really, really, really dark time for me. Each of us who are suicide survivors have stories to tell. All of these stories are tragic, and they're all different. Yet, it's good to be together because we also know that we share many things in common. The kind of loss and grief that we have experienced is so much more complicated, so much more intense than the kind of loss that folks experience when they lose someone to natural causes or even to an accident. When death occurs by suicide, we tend to subject ourselves to endless questions of, if only I had, if only I had been there, I might have stopped this from happening. If only I had left work a little sooner, I might have gotten there on time to save him. Did you say anything like that? I know I did. Experts tell us that our loved ones time things precisely so that we wouldn't be there. They say that once the ambivalence was over and our loved ones made the decisions to end their lives, there were limits to what anyone could have done to change the outcome. Everything humanly possible may have been done. Still, the events of the last hours, days, and weeks are played over and over and over again in our minds as we search for clues as to what went wrong. In the mistaken belief that we could have or should have prevented the death from happening, we carry extra burdens of heavy responsibility and guilt that stretch far beyond rational understanding. In addition to the darkness of guilt, survivors of suicide loss often feel intense anger. Now, when I was introduced, you didn't hear that I'm a clergy person. So would it shock you very much if I were to tell you that I was really pissed off for a long time after my mother's death? You'd think I could find a nicer way to say it. But quite frankly, the word anger isn't strong enough. I was really mad. Really mad. I was mad at the long list of doctors, psychiatrists, and therapists who did everything but save my mother. I was mad at myself for being an incorrigible teenager when she died. If only I had been a nicer teenager. I was mad at my mother. How could she abandon me? Didn't she think I might still need her? I was mad that there had been no goodbye. Now, as a clergy person, I want to take just a moment to talk about God. I can't help myself. But part of the reason I want to say that is that as angry as I was at my mother, at the doctors, and even at myself, I was really, really, really angry with God. And I want to tell you that that's okay. Where on earth was God anyway for my mother? She, like so many who end their lives to suicide, had been ill for a very long time. I had prayed for her for years. Why hadn't God answered those prayers? And then, when my mother was gone, where was God for me? It seemed like just when I needed God the most, God was the most absent. Religion wasn't very much help for me. You see, there's been centuries of religious teaching that have put a stigma on those whom we've lost. A stigma that made me question, did my mother commit some sort of unforgivable sin? What kind of God would allow a person to suffer as much as she did and then punish her for putting an end to it all? Now, if the Bible is a sacred text for you, I want to tell you that there's only 6 stories in all of Scripture, Old and New Testaments, that deal with suicide. And absolutely none of them say that suicide is an unforgivable act. As a Christian minister and pastoral caregiver, I've got to say that God is a whole lot bigger than that. All right. The Apostle Paul says it really, really well. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, I think that might include suicide. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Well, the social teachings of most religions have relaxed a bit, and they're no longer as harsh as they once were. There's a growing understanding that suicide is often symptomatic of underlying mental illness. In fact, it probably usually is. There's less judgment now and more compassion for all of us. Still, centuries of shame aren't easily erased, are they? I felt that shame. It made it hard for me and my siblings to talk about our mom. Even now, when people ask about her, I wonder what I should say. When they say, oh, is your mom still living? How did she die? How much do they really want to know? Should I say the word suicide? Let's face it, that can be a real conversation stopper, can't it? We all know that. It's happened. But talking about suicide is exactly what we need to be doing for ourselves, for the sake of others who are suffering, even for our loved ones who have died. When we talk about what we've experienced, we are bringing them and ourselves out of the darkness and into the light. That's what today is all about. It's about coming out of the darkness. It's about shining a light into the darkness for others out there who are struggling for their very lives. We have lost loved ones. We know what it feels like to be in the darkness, but we can walk out of that darkness one step at a time, and we can do that together. We can choose life for ourselves by taking steps in positive directions, by loving others, by discovering that we can still smile and laugh again, and do it without guilt. When we do these things, we are actually helping the ones we are remembering here today. We are honoring them by working to ease the pain that has been caused through their deaths, and by not allowing their most enduring legacy to be one of tragedy. There are times, as suicide survivors, that we might feel so alone. Sometimes it may feel as if any light we have to shine is too small to be of any significance. But look around you today. I'm overwhelmed with being with so many others. We're not alone. You're not alone. And if we were to all share that little bit of light that we have within us to share, a great light would be shining here in Ankeny today. So I have something for us I'd like for all of us to do right here and right now. I'd like for you to turn to another person. It may be someone you came with today, and it may be someone that you are meeting for the very first time. Be sure to include all the people around you. Don't leave anyone out. And as you turn to one another, go ahead and do it. Find someone to turn to. Hat. Say to one another, I'll be the light for you. Okay? I'll do it with you. I'll be the light for you. Okay? Can we do that again? Let's do it all together. I'll be the light for you. Again? I'll be the light for you. And for all those who are out there in this world, who are living alone in that darkness, let's do it one more time. I'll be the light for you. May it be so.
Thank you, Diane. Those were very great words.